This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. You can find all the latest news about growth and development and local elections right there on their website. Brian joins me on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development. And I do hope this afternoon that you'll be up for talking quite a bit.
I was going to say, you don't sound too good, Coy.
I feel like poo. I really do. I don't have it as bad as my daughter did, though. I mean, she's 102 temperature and vomiting. And evidently, there's a couple things going around. The flu is going around, but there's also this flu-like illness that's going around that isn't full-blown flu, but it's sort of it's on the verge. I think that's what I may have. But
well, we should get some caller questions, too. That'll help us.
Caller questions are always good. 977-1070, opinions and calls regarding growth and development. Nobody sick at your house, I hope?
Not at the moment. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Now, you're all dressed up. Is there a big meeting tonight?
No, I was just meeting with people.
You doing some pressing the flesh? Hey, I'm Brian Wheeler. How you doing?
It was funny. When I worked at SNL Financial, they had the dress code was basically shoes are optional.
Oh, was it that laid back?
Yeah, because I mean, we didn't really have clients coming in the office. I mean, all the real business was done up on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Or, you know, out.
And you're just tracking it. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just collecting the data and shipping it off.
Was it one of those places where people would bring their dogs?
No.
And you'd find dogs sleeping in cubicles?
No, I think we had a no dog rule. Although that would have been great.
I sort of like that.
I love that.
I find that when I see a dog in an office, it's just instantly more friendly and more homey, and I just like the place a lot more. I don't know why it is, and maybe it's because I like dogs. But
whenever you showed up to work and you were dressed up, then, you know, the rumor mill started going, oh, Brian's interviewing for
Brian's
something.
Jumping ship.
So it was funny whenever someone came in dressed up. But anyway, I was not interviewing for a new job.
Hey, speaking of something going on tonight, why don't we start with the calendar updates? Can we do that? Is that all right? I know
we had
an order here, but starting with just letting folks know what's going on, because too often we don't get to that.
Yeah.
And we want to
happy to talk about it.
Make sure
things.
This is an important time of year. Budgets are being discussed, and we want people to know when all these public hearings are.
Immediately tonight, we've got two Planning Commission's meeting, both in the city and the county. The City Planning Commission is meeting as we speak. My colleague Sean Tubbs is over there covering that discussion, and they will meet into the evening as well. They have a little pre-meeting gathering. Remember us talking about the gatherings?
Yeah, they would meet in somebody's office, right?
It's a conference room, actually, but it's still pretty small. It's actually about the size of the room we're in here at WINA. It's a very small room.
Oh, yeah, on the second floor.
Yeah, the Neighborhood Development Conference Room.
Right down from Jeannie's office?
Well, not in that hallway, no.
Oh.
It's across the desk from Neighborhood Development.
Oh, okay.
Across the hall.
Okay, I got you.
But anyway, they do that off camera and before the big meeting begins in the evening. And so we've been joining them for the past couple of years as probably the only observers of these things.
But and in retrospect, now that you've seen enough of those little semi-private meetings, they're technically public.
They are open to the public.
Yeah, but nobody goes except Charlottesville Tomorrow and the planning commissioners and maybe some staff. But
And I think, you know, they probably think we are staff at this point. We're in that building so much.
So in retrospect, is there anything major going on at these little pre-meetings in
you
the
know,
city?
Typically not. But they do have conversations about the projects that'll be on, you know, their agenda tonight.
Yeah.
Of course, with not very much development going on in the city or the county,
they don't have that much.
There's not a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
But you know, our goal is transparency, open government, and making sure we capture the conversation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's our job to be there, and we are.
There is that big new building going up. The Landmark Hotel stopped. But there is the building going up, the Gleason is going up down there, and that's going up really fast. They're working on that every day down there.
I keep hearing that in the news or the Hook or someone wrote a story about that recently, maybe in this coming week's Hook.
It's right by the ACAC downtown.
Unless I missed it last week, but I think Dave McNair at the Hook is doing a story on those buildings and how that one is moving forward. And I haven't actually seen it. I've driven by in front of ACAC, but not back.
Right,
along Garrett Street back there.
It's right behind the old Gleason's. Yeah. Which now has a bunch of different stores in it.
Yep. I remember shopping for mowers in there.
You've been around here for a while. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville tomorrow.
So that's so tonight.
Two planning commission meetings tonight.
And, you know, the types of things on the county planning commission are, you know, if you're concerned about what goes by the name personal wireless service facility, do you know what that is, Coy?
Personal wireless service facility. I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say that if you live out in a rural area, you can get somebody to come in and put up a tower for you so you have good cell phone service. You pay a little extra for it. Is that what it is?
Actually, no. That's the name for a cell tower. That was good.
It's the name for a cell phone tower.
It's basically a cell tower.
Why is it personal wireless?
Because I guess it supports our personal phones.
Ah, okay. So they're putting up more?
So it goes by, you know, sometimes you have to decipher what these things mean.
I hope AT&T is putting
up
some
AT&T.
More. This is AT&T. Thank God.
Okay, if you're excited about it, let me tell you where it is.
I love that.
Let me see if it'll help you.
Because I will tell you, I got an iPhone.
You're not going to like where this
Ever since I got an iPhone, I switched over from Altel. When I had Altel on my BlackBerry, it never dropped out. I had like this one spot in Virginia where it would drop out. So I got an iPhone, so all of a sudden I have AT&T.
Right.
And between you and me and the wall, it drops out everywhere around Charlottesville.
Nobody's
just
listening.
Just indiscriminately, like, what does this mean? I'm like in a major part of the city, and I don't get it. AT&T doesn't work here.
But I do think they're making a lot of upgrades. AT&T.
I hope so.
In this community.
I hope so.
This appears to be one of them. This tower is down off of Plank Road and 29 South. So it's probably not going to help with your daily commute.
But it'll help those good folks down that way.
It will. And, you know, Albemarle County has a pretty stringent policy on these towers, what they look like, how they have to be camouflaged, how high above the trees they can be. And that's one of the things that people view as pretty positive about our community, that we don't have these big monster towers. In fact, the ones that you can see that are monster towers were approved before we had these new guidelines.
Grandfathered in, yeah.
Yep. So they
do look different from some of the ones you see when you get towards Richmond.
That's right.
Those really stick out. It's like, they ooh, do. Cell phone tower.
So anyway, they've got one of those. Interestingly, they have a waiver request related to the Charlottesville High School softball field.
AT&T does?
No, this is another project.
Oh,
this is related to a lighting system for the girls' softball field, which of course is the site of the Meadow Creek Parkway at the moment. And so I'm not quite clear where that is. I didn't pull that one up. But maybe that's for after they finish constructing.
Yeah.
They'll need lights back on the field. I don't know.
So two planning commission meetings tonight and Charlottesville tomorrow. We'll have full reports for you.
And next week, I want to make sure the public knows that City Council is having their budget work session. So that'll be on Monday night. And let me find my agenda here.
It's not March 2nd. It's going to be March
16th. March 2nd?
It says March 2nd right here.
Oh. No, that's a lie.
Is that April 2nd? March 16th.
No, I think it got canceled because of the snow. I think I gave you an old date there.
Oh, okay.
So that one got canceled, so now they're meeting on March 16th.
Next Monday night.
Next Monday night.
7 p.m. is the next big city council public hearing for the budget.
And it's big because there are public hearings on the tax levy in the city, on the city manager's proposed budget. They will also get a presentation of the school board budget.
Oh, that's huge. That's going to be a public hearing?
Next Monday, City Council, all budget.
That'd be packed.
Go give your feedback.
When's the next big county one? Because that'll be packed, too.
The next big county one, they've already had their public hearing. So the next big one is, I think, the first week of April.
Okay. Is that another public hearing?
It is, but on the tax rate. So they've already had a hearing on the budget.
Now tax rate.
Now the Board of Supervisors will have to decide what rate to advertise. Okay?
Yeah, which they're legally required to do.
They are. And so the tax rate today is 71 cents per $100 of assessed value.
10 cents of which goes immediately to the city.
You're getting good.
Yep. So it's just 61 cents, really.
That's the effective rate available to the county. And so they have to decide what rate to advertise. It's important because whatever rate they advertise, the ultimate rate they adopt can be no higher than that rate.
Right.
Which makes sense. You don't want to advertise a low rate and then, you know, surprise everyone with something much higher. So you advertise the highest rate you think you would possibly adopt.
Historically, do they tend to advertise a higher rate than is adopted? Or do they usually get – that would be an interesting study. Do they usually then, you know, adopt the advertised rate or something less?
If you looked over a long period of time, they would usually adopt the advertised rate.
Interesting. Okay.
This year could be different because the Board of Supervisors is getting a lot of feedback about their contingency fund or rainy day fund. So the proposal on the table is to set aside about 2.5 cents of the tax rate to create a rainy day fund. And in their little town hall meetings that they're having around the county, I've heard supervisors say they're getting a lot of feedback that that's something the public is not very supportive of at the moment.
Yeah. Not a good time to create a rainy day fund.
So they could advertise.
Should have already done that, Brad.
They could advertise a rate that includes that. And then I would not be surprised if they then negotiate that downwards from there.
When does the advertised rate go out? When is it advertised, I should say?
They will have a work session tomorrow at 3 o'clock. This is a public meeting. They're not taking public comment at it. But between 3 and 5 tomorrow, I think they will finalize that decision.
Okay.
And then there's an evening meeting as well. It could drag into the evening. That certainly happens. Sometimes they request some additional information, then they'll come back to it. But I expect tomorrow they're going to pick that rate.
Interesting.
Okay. To advertise, not the one that's approved.
Good deal. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. A quick 1 minute break. We'll be right back.
Greetings, great Americans. I know you are enjoying this quality news and information program known as Charlottesville Right Now. Coy Barefoot is the man. Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WBAX and Sundays at noon on News Radio 1070 WINA.
This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. Happy Tuesday afternoon. I hope you're feeling well. Thanks for joining me. Coming up on Thursday, we got Bruce Sanborn live from L.A. with his entertainment update. Next week, Dahlia Lithwick of Slate NPR and Newsweek will be my guest live in studio, as well as John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. All that and more every day at 4 on Charlottesville Right Now. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org, joins me every Tuesday afternoon to talk a little growth, a little development here in Central Virginia. We also talk about elections because Charlottesville Tomorrow tracks the local Board of Supervisors and City Council elections and provides the voter guide and all that good stuff.
That's correct. We do not cover the constitutional officers like sheriff, commonwealth's attorney, city treasurer, city commissioner of revenue.
And there's a bunch of those this year.
And we don't cover school board, which will also be on the ballot.
Right.
Not me, but other school board races in the county and the city will be on the ballot.
Right.
So, yeah, after I left the studio last week, guess what happened? Three new candidates, actually three old candidates, announced their intention to run for reelection.
Three incumbents. Seeking re-election.
So Dennis Rooker announced the next day, last Wednesday, at the Board of Supervisors meeting that he was going to seek a third term on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors representing the Jack Jewett District. And before him in that seat was Charlotte Humphreys, who a lot of people in the community certainly know.
Yep. She passed away.
She has passed away. But Dennis Rooker was on the Planning Commission before that, so he has announced he's running for a third term. His area of expertise and a lot of his passion has been around transportation issues. He is an attorney, but a lot of his work on the board is focused on those sorts of transportation matters.
Yeah.
Then in the city, we have the two incumbents on city council, Dave Norris and Julian Taliaferro, both announcing that they are running for reelection to a second term for them. They were elected in 2006. And let's see, I guess they were the in that last group that got elected in May.
Yeah, that was a May election, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
that. Is that right?
Wasn't it?
I think so.
They were at the Ice Park.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was in May. Then in 2007, they had the first...
Yes, Chris said it was May.
Oh, good.
That was the last May election for city council. Check. Okay.
Callahan.com.
Callahan knows.
Keeping us straight. You know, there's so many elections. In Virginia, We have elections every year. And
in Virginia, it's like the weather. Just wait a few minutes. It'll come along. All right, so the weather will change. There'll be a new election.
Their terms were slightly truncated to coincide with the new election cycle, which is the calendar year. So your terms end at December 31st now.
Instead of
so
next
their
May,
terms
yeah.
end at the end of this year. The election will be in November of 2009. They are both Democrats. They're running to get the Democratic nomination. There's another Democrat, Kristen Zekas, who'd already announced.
Right.
So she's a challenger in the race. And I'll tell you, one of the interesting things.
And in Charlottesville, the odds are always favored towards the incumbent Democrats. Let's just admit that. That's sort of obvious, isn't it?
Well, I would say it's strongly in favor of the Democratic candidate, yes.
Yeah.
Incumbent, more, yes, more often than not.
I mean, unless you really tick somebody off or...
This is going to be interesting, you know? Though, because behind Julian Taliaferro, and as evidence, I think, to your point, was a huge number of public officials. Not huge, but...
Past and present?
Tom Vandiver, yeah. Former mayor. Blake Caravati. Former mayor.
Yeah.
Current treasurer, Jennifer Brown. Current city commissioner of revenue, Lee Richards. Current Commonwealth attorney, Dave Chapman. And candidate for city sheriff, Mike Baird. So they were all standing behind Julian Taliaferro as he made his announcement. So that's a sign that the Democratic elected officials in the community are strongly behind at least his campaign.
Right, right. And Dennis Rooker running for re-election in the county.
In the county.
And has David Slutsky announced yet?
He has not announced. He'll probably tell you first.
Rodney Thomas. Why would he tell me? Rodney Thomas has announced that he's running in that same district.
He's running in the Rio district, challenging, presumably, David Slutsky, although David is not announced.
Not announced yet.
And so Dave Norris sort of announced in an interesting way. He sent out an email and a blog post and said he was running.
Yeah, and he did a media junket and did a lot of interviews.
Yeah, he missed us in that interview tour.
But,
But he's having a kickoff
What's
party
he thinking?
on Thursday, March 12th.
There you go. So that's the elections. You can get more information at SevilleTomorrow.org. Charlottesville Tomorrow tracks local elections with their Election Watch webpage. A quick break for local news. We're back in just a few minutes with the latest on the Meadow Creek Parkway, the Western Bypass, and the new Ragged Mountain Dam. All that coming up.
What if you could browse the Real Estate Weekly while instantly accessing the wealth of information on the internet? Now you can with the Carr Real Estate Weekly.
Your home beautiful and maintenance free. And that's what it's really all about. Isn't your home your castle? So join Bruce for some great stories, great advice, and just a wonderful time every Saturday morning at 10:30 on WINA.
You're listening to my daddy on News Radio 1070 WINA, Charlottesville. Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now! Right now!
We got 38 minutes after 5, 22 before 6. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Coy Barefoot with you, a little under the weather, but I am here and happy to be so. I'm glad you're here as well. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Coming up on Thursday, we've got Bruce Sanborn live from Los Angeles. Talk a little entertainment, a little new movies in production. Next week, Dahlia Lithwick of Slate NPR and Newsweek live in studio, as well as John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. Looking forward to that. Plus, next Tuesday, 1 week from today, is Pi Day with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Pi Day is officially this coming Saturday.
Saturday.
Because it's 314. It's March 14th, 314, Pi 3.14. We're going to celebrate next Tuesday. I'm going to bring a pie. Brian's going to bring a pie. Anybody wants to bring pie by and say hi,
we'll be glad to eat it.
We will be glad to eat it.
Indeed. On the air.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about the good pie. And you want to promote your pie, bring it by and say hi. Next Tuesday, 1 week from today at 5 o'clock right here at on WINA.
I got to go back to local elections.
Okay.
Because I think the public...
Did we have somebody new declare in the last few minutes?
No, but there's people need to understand how the parties are and independents can get on the ballot. And so I want to be real clear about that. In our piece about Mr. Taliaferro, it wasn't clear to us at the time when the Democratic Party in the city was going to hold their caucus to pick their candidates. But according to...
Well, they're going to have a firehouse primary, though.
Well, they're, you know, if you, the sticklers on names are calling it an unassembled caucus.
Oh, so it's not a firehouse primary?
No.
Even though it looks, even though smells, walks, and talks like a firehouse primary.
They're calling it an unassembled caucus.
Interesting. To try to deter crossover voters?
No, I thought they were still going to have a little loyalty pledge.
Yeah, if you're going to vote in that, you're supposed to sign a pledge.
Well, anyway, Mayor Norris has said on his blog that the date is going to be Saturday, May 9th.
Saturday, May 9th, and you'll be able to vote all day.
Right.
You won't have to go over to the Performing Arts Center and sit there for hours.
Where you vote and what time period during which you can vote, I don't know the answer. But at least we know a date now.
Yeah.
So the political parties have to choose their candidates to run as a party candidate between May 8th and June 9th. June 9th is the deadline for all candidates to file. So if you want to get on the city Democratic unassembled caucus list, you need to let them know. And actually, they have a deadline that's sooner than that. And if you go to the Charlottesville Democrat website, you can download that date. But they sort of want candidates to pre-file and get in the queue.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how the Democrats in the city are going to pick their candidates.
Right, right.
Independents have until June 9th to collect petition signatures to get on the ballot.
Right.
That's true in the county for Board of Supervisor as well.
I wonder when's the last time an independent won. I mean, Rob Schilling was the last Republican to win. I can't think of an independent that's won in the city for a while.
I'd ask Chris
Callahan. Dems are mighty strong in the city.
Chris Callahan's running away, but I'd ask him. So anyway, that's a little update on that.
Okay, good deal. Now, let me ask you, as we talk about some of these growth issues here, because to transition from talking about elections, you think the Meadow Creek Parkway and this water issue thing, that those are going to be big election issues this year in the city and in the county?
Yes and yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are now the two big public policy issues, I think, and the Western Bypass is resurfacing as a proposal from the business community, the Chamber of Commerce. So transportation projects and water are going to be big election issues in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Interesting. And that Meadow Creek Parkway is still an issue.
And the Meadow Creek Parkway
is interesting. The dirt is turning and it's still an issue.
Well, let's start
with
that.
I remember I was a reporter, you know, 15 years ago covering city council elections. It was Meadow Creek Parkway. That's all everybody was talking about. This was 15 years ago.
Well, of course, it goes back much further than that.
Yeah.
But the news on the Meadow Creek Parkway front is that there's a court date of March 18th, so next Wednesday, in Circuit Court of Charlottesville. Jennifer McKeever is the attorney on this, and she sent her clients an email today, which I got a copy of, which said that they would be in court at 2 p.m. in front of Judge Sweat. And it will be interesting. Now, what this case is about is an injunction to stop all construction activities on Charlottesville land owned by Charlottesville, the city, but it happens to be located in Albemarle County.
Is that where they're clearing
now? That's
where
that softball field is.
But are they clearing there now?
Yes.
They are. Okay. And so have they already taken possession of the softball field?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been out there. I got to go see it.
I mean, Peter Kleeman, who's one of the activists opposed to the project, he put a picture on his website that shows the trees piling up.
Oh, man. Look at this.
And he came by our office a couple weeks ago and
said, like one of those fields down in Brazil where you see that, you know, they're clearing the wild.
He said, if we don't get in. I haven't driven by on the Melbourne Road side. I've driven by on the Rio side.
Wow.
But, yeah, they're actively working on the county's portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway, which involves the small parcel of city land.
Okay.
So the injunction in front
and that's
of
what this court
Judge
case
Sweat
is about. Yes.
Is to stop that, because the lawsuit, the second, what they call a motion for declaratory judgment, and I'm not an attorney, so I don't know what that means.
Well, Brian,
but what they are arguing in this judgment is that the city should not have conveyed land to VDOT for the parkway. Because they didn't have a supermajority vote at city council.
They just
they
had
didn't
a regular,
have four votes.
Regular old majority.
3-2. So you ask, is this going to be an election issue? Why, yes, Coy. The votes, you could have a majority vote against the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Right.
Or as they call it in the city, McIntyre Road Extended.
Right? When did that start? Because it was always the Meadow Creek Parkway.
I don't know.
As of 1983, it was originally called McIntyre Road Extended.
Yeah.
From McIntyre Road all the way up to Rio Road when it was born in 1967. But then about 1983, they changed it to the Meadow Creek Parkway so it would sound prettier and more palatable, and they could get over the vociferous opposition to this roadway.
Well, one of the interesting things we learned yesterday from Councillor Talaferro, who's currently vice mayor, who voted in favor of granting that construction easement last summer.
Pro-Parkway.
He is on the record, a vote in favor of granting the construction easement for the Meadow Creek Parkway. Yesterday, a reporter said, Mr. Talaferro, we saw you at the protest last weekend that was held in McIntyre Park. You know, how are you feeling about the parkway now?
Uh-huh.
And he said, quote, a little more against.
Let's be an election year. Maybe he has a bit of buyer's remorse there.
So Mr. Talaferro is a little more against the parkway. And, you know, this lawsuit's going to be interesting. So we'll see if the judge, what happens next week. We'll see what happens with this question about the Virginia Constitution.
Yeah.
And did they need a supermajority vote to do it or just a majority? And then, as I mentioned last week, there's this whole segmentation issue, this creation of a interchange project, a McIntyre Road project, and a Meadow Creek Parkway project. And there's a threatened lawsuit on that the project never should have been separated out.
By the same group?
The Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park.
And that's a new thing. That segmentation's a new thing, you know. I mean, if you look at the history of the parkway, that's a relatively new thing. And let's admit it, it's a result of a workaround of the federal requirements for studies and things that would have held it up. They figured out how to get around those things by just splitting it up.
So we will keep an eye on the Meadow Creek Parkway next week. There'll be news on that front. And I'm sure all the media will be at outside the courthouse waiting for the verdict on that one.
You want to call it now? No, I will.
I have no idea.
I will.
Go ahead.
He's going to say, no, they didn't need a supermajority. They were authorized to give that, to convey that land for this project.
And former Attorney General Jerry Kilgore would apparently agree with you.
Yeah.
Because the opinion that Craig Brown, the city attorney, relied upon when he gave that advice to counsel.
Yes.
So we'll see.
There's your legal precedent there. There has been an opinion
already
issued.
We'll see if you're right. I just want to make sure people understand I did not pick this one. I did not call it. I have no idea what's going to happen.
I called it. We'll see. We'll see what happens. That's why they play the game. That's why they have the hearing.
Okay, so Western Bypass. This is getting interesting.
Yeah, and now the Western Bypass is back.
Who would have thunk?
I thought it was. I thought they put those kittens in that bag and threw it in the river.
I got a press release from the Chamber of Commerce.
Uh huh.
Which said,
Tim Hulbert.
Well, and it's not just from Tim Hulbert, who's our local head of the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce.
It's a whole coalition of them, right?
It's from every Chamber of Commerce between the North Carolina line and Gainesville, all along 29 in Virginia. So we got Danville, we got Culpeper, Fauquier County, Lynchburg, Prince William, Roanoke, all sorts of folks.
Yeah.
So anyway, they all wrote a letter to the Honorable Pierce Homer, Secretary of Transportation.
Good guy.
They said, we'd like to meet with you.
Uh-huh.
To talk about 29.
We got to have a meeting of the families.
So, you know, it's very clear. It's been made very clear by the local chamber that having the Western Bypass is one, after the Meadow Creek Parkway, is one of their clear transportation priorities.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So Brandon Shulita, with the Daily Progress wrote a story that's in, I think, today's issue. 10th? Yes.
Yes, March 10th.
So he wrote about it today in the Daily Progress, and you can see what Tim Hulbert said there. But it basically said, you know, each of the communities along 29 that's built a bypass has liked it, and Charlottesville had a plan for one. What's happened? The reason they are wanting to have this meeting is that VDOT is in the middle of a big planning project to give some long-term planning ideas into this corridor.
Right.
Now, Albemarle County has a small piece of that already underway called Places 29,
right,
which is the master plan for the 29 North Corridor.
Gotcha.
The VDOT planners involved in the county's planning effort, you follow that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
VDOT is behind grade separation. So what that means is
overpasses
along
Rio,
29,
yeah,
six of them.
And the business community along 29, vis-a-vis the Chamber of Commerce, they don't like that idea.
They don't want that because they fear it's going to hide their business, make it harder for customers to get there.
Right.
And what everyone would probably agree on is that the parts of 29 that are not eight lanes, you know, it gets narrow right in front of Forest Lake South.
Yeah.
Hollywood Town Center got widened up in that area. And then it's, of course, wide all the way through the Walmart. And then the bridges were expanded many years ago.
Right.
And then it shrinks again.
Yeah, and that's where you have all those accidents.
And VDOT has not had money to fix that.
Right. Because they would like to widen from the Walmart up to the Target, right?
Right. But the long-range plan for 29 is a much bigger plan to do grade separation. And yeah. Now the top interchange they want to do is the Rio interchange. So that one has moved to the top.
Which,
of the
list. You're going to put in an overpass, that would make the most sense. That's a monstrous intersection if you're pro-overpass.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a dog in this hunt. So
and again, the thinking behind the planners who advocate for that is that the data shows only 12% of the cars are trying to get around Charlottesville.
Right.
On 29.
So 88% of the cars that are on 29 aren't necessarily looking for a bypass. They're going from store to store or home to home or home to work. Or...
So those that want the Western bypass and want to spend $250, $300 million to build that, the planners working on Places 29 and at VDOT today say, why would you spend $250, $300 million out there?
To move 12% of the cars.
When you're still going to have congestion on 29.
Yeah, it's not going to really
when you build all
much.
These new projects, North Point, Hollywood Town Center, all of its residential comes online.
Right.
There's going to be more traffic. So they say long term, you need to look at grade separation. And if you're going to spend $250, $300 million, do it on that first.
Yeah. And see what kind of impact you have there.
So that's where this conversation's going. I think that's made the Chambers of Commerce in Virginia very uncomfortable. They want to sit down directly with the Secretary of Transportation. And
would those overpasses really hurt those businesses, though?
Well, I think
the Chamber is convinced of that.
Certainly the ones right on the corner there, yes. Because many of them would have to be moved. Right?
Oh, okay. Well, then that's what it is then. It's the ones right around the overpasses.
But that's a small number of businesses.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was
thinking.
At
these locations.
Yeah.
But I think more of their concern, Coy, which I've heard expressed at these meetings, is that if it becomes a they want it to be the main street of Albemarle County. And so they are afraid if it becomes a thoroughfare. If you eliminate the congestion, everyone's quickly getting through.
We like the stoplights.
They won't have time to stop,
and
they won't see the parking lots and the storefronts. And,
right.
So it depends who you ask. They've also had experts come into this community and speak to the North Charlottesville Business Council and tell them that if they redevelop and have walkable, livable communities and developments like Albemarle Place, which are mixed use. So you have residential, you've got commercial, you've got grocery stores, you've got boutique shops.
Yeah.
You have that mixture.
Those little village.
But you make it a
places.
Destination place.
Yeah.
Then people will seek it out and park and stay there and do their shopping.
Yeah. Williamsburg's got one now. It's called Newtown. It's gorgeous. I mean, really pretty.
I've not been there.
And there's one going up up near Gainesville, going in near Gainesville too.
Well, and the one at Gainesville is a good example of a couple things, at least for me personally, as I've stopped there a lot, and you've got big retail, big box stores.
Yeah.
With a huge parking lot in front of them. So that's sort of old school big box
the
retail.
The old model. Yeah.
But right along 29 at Gainesville, there are a bunch of restaurants, and you sort of see the backs of them.
Yeah.
But if you drive in there,
it's like a little village feel.
It's a little village.
Like a faux downtown mall.
Very faux, but it's much different than how we have developed places like Hollywood Town Center. Hollywood Town Center came out looking more like
The traditional model. Yeah.
And you wouldn't be tempted, for example, I don't think, to park at one end of Hollywood Town Center near the Target and then walk
to the Starbucks.
To the Starbucks.
Yeah.
Now, in the downtown mall, you would do that in a second, and you wouldn't think about it.
On the downtown mall, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
because it's a comfortable walking environment.
It's a pedestrian environment.
Trees. And so this Gainesville one's just a small, you know, for me, it struck me as really different. You've got big, wide sidewalks.
Oh,
you've got tables.
Those things work
out there.
They work. I mean, the downtown mall works for a reason, and the faux malls also work. You know, they're pretty. They welcome you. You want to walk around.
So that's now that said.
But they're also expensive as heck, aren't
that
they?
That said, I'll admit, had that not been right on 29, I never would have found it. Right? Because I just would have blown through Gainesville and not stopped.
Yeah, there you go.
So there
that's
is
a good
that
point.
But again, I'm probably only 12% of the traffic. You know, going by Gainesville.
Through Gainesville. One of the members of the 12% of the traffic, Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.com. Org. Joins us on Tuesdays. Talk a little growth and talk a little development. What else is going on?
We still got time?
We got a couple minutes.
All right. After our show last week, and remember, I spent the whole show on the four boards meeting about the water supply because that had just happened on last Tuesday.
Right.
We've got an extensive report about that. Actually, I had to trim out about half of the story that we wrote, but because it was just way too long. But the story that's up there is really good, so it's the good half.
Yeah.
And but the next day, the heads of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority and the Albemarle County Service Authority went to the Board of Supervisors meeting and gave them an update on what was happening. A couple interesting things came out that I've not seen in the traditional media, and one was the question Sally Thomas asked.
Is there gold in the Ravana? Oh, no, sorry, wrong question.
Penny for gold. Now, yeah. There's an interesting thing. No, will this panel of experts looking at the Ragged Mountain Dam, will they be able to assess the feasibility of adding 13 feet to the existing 100-year-old Ragged Mountain Dam, the dam we have now, built in 1908? She asked that question. He said, Tom Frederick said yes, that they will be looking at the existing dam and the feasibility of things like that. But he did say, quote, if there's cracked rock in one place, remember that was the problem.
Yeah, that's expensive when you got rock, 'cause you got to blow it out of there.
It may not be safe to add to the existing dam either, is what Tom Frederick said. Uh-huh. But this panel of experts will look into that. We also got some news on the Moores Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant. That's a big plant that handles all our wastewater.
Yeah.
They're going to upgrade that at a cost of about $65 million.
Where's that money coming from?
Ratepayers.
They're raising rates?
And they're working on the Meadow Creek Interceptor. That's the sewer line coming out of
the big one,
the county, Albemarle Place, coming through the city.
So they got to do that so you can build Albemarle Place.
And there's a public meeting about that. If you go to our website, you can find out about a Meadow Creek Sewer Interceptor meeting next March 17th, Tuesday, 7
p.m. There you go. Brian Wheeler, we'll see you next week for Pi Day.
Thank you, Coy.
Y'all have a great night.
Don't forget next time we meet, we're planning something big. Yeah. Be sure to join us then for Paul.
Greetings, great Americans. I know you are enjoying this quality news and information program known as Charlottesville Right Now. Coy Barefoot is the man. Jay James here inviting you to join us for a smoking show coming up next at 6 o'clock on the best seat in the house. We'll talk with Mamadi Diani Sr.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.